Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Power Hour, and my name is Scott Bennett. It's an honor to be guest hosting with the Power Hour on Rents Radio. I love the Power Hour. I think it's one of the great voices of truth in our nation, and it's always an honor. It's particularly pleasing for me and energizing because I know the people who listen to the Power Hour are really the enlightened ones in the country, the patriots, the Christian souls, and perhaps some non-Christian souls. That's fine. I think it's people who seek truth, who love the Constitution, who love their families and love their country, I think is best symbolized by the people who listen to the Power Hour in particular. So we thank you very much for always listening. We thank you for your prayers, too, and we thank you for your financial support because it keeps the radio drivers and servers and electricity on. And it keeps us able to speak the truth. In today's society, it's fascinating. There's so much shutdown of the alternative media. There are so many coordinated attacks by the Gestapo of Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram that they are trying to purge anything with a sense of independence, a sense of virility, a sense of masculine character and strength, as well as a sense of feminine strength. I mean, I think women are being victimized, but perhaps men are being singled out because that's how you kill a tribe, is to kill the fiercest warriors. And I think the men, the conservative men, and they're always targeting the white Christian heterosexual men, so I guess I'm the poster boy for that. We're always getting targeted as the enemies of humanity and society. So it's because of you that we keep fighting. It's because of our Lord. I'm a faithful Christian because of the traumas and the tortures I went through. My faith was greatly strengthened, and I give all praise to God. And I say, Father in heaven, let every word I say and every thought I have be from you and for your glory. And for those of you who may not know me, my name is Scott Bennett. My website is shellgamewhistleblower.com, shellgamewhistleblower.com. And it's titled that because of the report I wrote, Shell Game, a military whistleblowing report to Congress, that described the Clinton Foundation terrorist financing racket that she was doing, Hillary Clinton, with the State Department under her control. And with Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer, the Attorney General, the Assistant Attorney General, and Loretta Lynch, and Timothy Geithner, Secretary of the Treasury, in the Obama administration. They were doing this massive shell game of terrorist financing. And I knew it because I was a military officer in the Army doing terrorist financing, counter-terrorist financing at U.S. Central Command. And none of this material is classified, so I can talk about it. And I proudly and boldly do, because I think it's the great crime of America's history, the great fortune of the Wheel of Fortune game that Hillary Clinton tried to turn our government into. And it's becoming known, it's coming out, it's being investigated by certain people in the Department of Justice, certain people in the Congress, and certain people in the White House. We'll say the greatest people in the White House. So my report, which was written with the aid of Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, and Brad Birkenfeld, being the CIA target. He was a whistleblower. He was a Swiss banker in Switzerland. He happened to be targeted by Edward Snowden when Snowden was a CIA asset in Bern, Switzerland. Snowden later came and worked with me at Booz Allen Hamilton. And Julian Assange, of course, was producing the WikiLeaks cables that contained Hillary Clinton's State Department communications with Saudi Arabia and Qatar and United Arab Emirates and Morocco and Mauritania and Egypt, of course, and all sorts of other Wahhabi, Salafia, Sunni Muslim countries, not including Iran, interestingly enough. But she was making deals with the Saudi Arabians, especially to engage in overthrowing of Libya, which we saw, later it's turned into a hellhole with the overthrow of Syria or the attempted overthrow. All of this was done by money that was provided by the Saudis and the Qataris through Swiss banks that were reported to people like Dianne Feinstein and people like General James Mattis and people like General Michael Flynn and people like Senator Bill Nelson. And I can list about another 100 senators and congressmen who got this material when Brad and I wrote it in a military report and sent it up the chain of command. And they did absolutely nothing. So there's treason there. There's cover up. There's conspiracy. There's racketeering. There's all sorts of federal crimes about conspiring to defraud the United States. But I think the most serious one, which always drove me, was my my oath as an officer in the United States Army was so violated and so betrayed by these politicians not doing anything about this shell game that was financing terrorism, that I committed to make it part of my life's work to always drive it like a stake through the heart of the vampires through every politician and media person and military person I found that was exposed. And one of the ones that were exposed were Michael Isikoff and Tom Hamburger. So Michael Isikoff and Tom Hamburger came up and interviewed me for 2 hours and didn't write a single word about this material. And then we see these two same people emerge a few years later, and what we now see as the Christopher Steele memo. You're all familiar with the Christopher Steele fake memo being the false information about Donald Trump and the Russia hoax and all of this. And Tom Hamburger, who wrote the story about Donald Trump Jr. getting the WikiLeaks cables early. So these people, Tom Hamburger and Michael Isikoff, I have on good authority are CIA assets, Mockingbird assets. And it makes all the more distasteful and also apparent that a massive conspiracy against Donald Trump has been put together by this deep state within the Obama administration, holdovers and people that have been appointed by Obama in the CIA, under John Brennan, in the Department of Justice, under Eric Holder, Lanny Breuer, Loretta Lynch, in the State Department under Hillary Clinton, in the FBI, as we see James Comey and Robert Mueller and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and all of their contractors and subcontractors of contractors from Nelly Orr and Fusion GPS and the law firm and Veselnitskaya and all of this stuff. I think we are witnessing the tide of the tsunami rolling back. You know, they've tried to overthrow Donald Trump. They've tried to throw him out, and now it's rolling back on them. And I anticipate Shell Game and Birkenfeld and Snowden and Julian Assange and myself and others testifying openly and for the American public before 2020, because I think it's a very important political advantage that the president needs to take with him as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, but we're also going to talk about Iran. Iran is increasingly becoming a sore point. And I've said before, in my personal opinion, I do not want Donald Trump to engage in a war with Venezuela and Iran because it would defeat his presidency, I fear. I don't fear these countries, but I do fear losing the presidency to a lunatic leftist Democrat. And of course, Donald Trump, I don't think he wants to take us that way. Many people have said that he's being manipulated and pushed by Benjamin Netanyahu, who wants a war to keep himself from getting indicted for certain crimes he's been accused of. And Netanyahu, of course, is a traditional and very good and effective liar because he lied us into the Iraq war by saying, yes, there are nuclear weapons. There are all sorts of weapons of mass destruction. And all of that was a lie. And Donald Trump, in fact, said that the Iraq war was a major failure. So I don't think he wants to engage in a fight, but I think he's being pushed in these directions, and one bad move can result in a problem. It can result in a boat getting sunk. And in fact, we just saw two oil tankers allegedly attacked or interfered with, or some sort of scenario, some sort of a Gulf of Tonkin false flag that may have occurred that they're trying to blame on Iran. So I wanted to get the firsthand impression. What's the information going on in Iran? And for that, I've called Nader Talebzadeh and his beautiful wife, Zaina, who were so hospitable and wonderful to me and Mike Maloof and Phil Giraldi and Michael Springman and so many others from the United States who came over to Iran last year to engage in a dialogue, a conference. It was called the New Horizons Conference, and it was a discussion on how to build conversations and relationships and dialogues, and how do we get past the past, which seemed to be a thorn in the side of Americans. What is this problem with America and Iran? Because everybody under 50 doesn't have a problem with Iran or Russia. They really don't. They haven't lived through that Cold War, and we're not John Bolton. So everybody under 50 is the hope for a better relationship between America and Iran. And we went there to evaporate a lot of the lies. And I came to find the Iranian people and the culture a beautiful people, a very, very hospitable people, not violent, not anything that the Western propaganda has painted them as. So I wanted to invite Nader in to come on and give us a briefing on what is happening in Iran. What are they talking about? What are they seeing? And how is this Saudi Arabian Gulf of Hormuz thing shaping up? And how do they see this developing? And then how do we need to turn it into a more peaceful, stable area? So, Nader, I'm so honored that you joined us, and you are now on the Power Hour, which is a fantastic radio station with some of the best people that you'd find. In fact, many of them you'd love if they had come over to the conference. So I'm going to hand it over to you to introduce yourself and what your conferences are about and how you see this whole situation unfolding. Go ahead, Nader.
Yes. Hi. How you doing, Scott? Thank you for inviting me, and I give my greetings to your other guests. When you mentioned our power, in 2006, I was invited while I was in Texas by at that time it was the head of the Evangelical Baptist University in Austin, I believe. And they had seen parts of my series on Jesus. And there was a panel, and they had invited me to talk about, and all the panel had seen about 30 minutes of the film. And we got to talk about why I made a film about Jesus in Iran in almost 13 parts. And what the story was on that, connecting Christianity and Islam. But now I'm very happy that I'm back talking with you, Scott, who was our guest at the New Horizon Conference in Iran last year. And to answer your question, Iranians are pretty cool about it. Just recently, a few days back, the leader talked. And he began his talk with, he was talking to a group of clergy from one of the seminaries, and he was saying, first of all, there will be no war. And that was kind of shocking. Then he said, if there is a war, and we might get inflicted a little bit, but the biggest damage is going to be on the side that assaults. And he went on to talk about the situation. It was the first time he would phrase such a thing, sentencing it out. But it was very nice, very to the point, the fact that he believed intuitively that there will be no war. So going on that, I think there's a lot of psychological warfare right now going on, and that I think is mainly psychological. When you bring in aircraft carriers into the Persian Gulf, you have to remember there are probably over 1,000 jet aircraft, jet aircrafts in the area in Qatar, in Turkey, in Kuwait, in the Emirates. The U.S. already has jet fighters there, do everything they want to. They don't need an aircraft carrier, which is a sitting duck right now with all this technology. It's more a psychological movement. Oh, they're bringing the armada into the Gulf. So, that said, it becomes obvious that they're trying to act like the bully. But you have to be careful who you're bullying. You know, it's like the guy, the big guy who bullies, and then he confronts this sort of small, darker-looking guy who's well-versed in street fighting and has been through a lot of things. You just don't pick up on the wrong people. And this is a case where the U.S. has enough internal problems, has enough divisions, this neocon push towards war, we believe that it's psychological and it's a fake threat. Nevertheless, the Iranians have prepared themselves. and they have prepared themselves in various ways. The public is basically quiet. There's no tension, there's not really that much of a stress. We've been through a lot in the past year. Our currency has diminished to 1/4 its value, and still the people have been patient. So if this this is the status quo, there's preparedness, of course, there's always preparedness. I think what happened with the Saudi tankers was a false flag. ISIS or none of those groups took responsibility, but I'm sure they're trying to provoke something that would provoke war. That went by quietly. It hasn't, nothing has come out of it yet. Everybody's vigilant, but they're quiet. And so this is the temperament of the country. I've been reading all the news today. Today the leader had a speech with the government officials and a lot of different members of the parliament. I have to see what he said because it's currently going on or just recently finished. So I have to see on that and see what the word is on the war. But in general, we're used to these kind of threats. Of course, it has reached the crescendo recently, and I think there's a degree of desperation on the other side to sound like they're serious. I think people are patient, they're waiting, and I don't think it will add up to anything emergencical right now. I don't think anything is going to add up right now. It doesn't. This is, the facade is not like that. We're just waiting patiently and in a calm way. Of course, the other side is the party that claims threats and also is claiming that Iran is a threat, very much similar to the build-up towards the attack towards Iraq in 2003. The same sort of language in the media going along with false reports about Iran making moves and being a threat and being, this is the very similar to that situation at that time, but the Americans know the trickery that was used, the hoax that was used, and the apologies that were made by some high government officials and of what they had done. So this time it seems, with that lesson in the background and what has happened in Iraq, I hope the wise ones in the White House and administration will take over.
Well, you know, you're in a unique position because your experience in America growing up in your college experience and such, and then also your New Horizons and your Iranian experience in living there, you're in a unique position to be the bridge. And I would ask, in your experience, which is vast and long and very deep, what do you see the major propaganda lies, distortions, half-truths that the media and the political class or the Zionist class or the military-industrial class here, what do you see them impressing and trying to brainwash the American public with? What are the major lies or distortions that just make you shake your head and throw things on the ground and say, this is just such a blatant lie and a disgusting distortion that if I had Americans in front of me, I would say, look, let me tell you the truth. This is not real. This is what the reality is. What would you say are the great ones that need to be healed? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. I will give you just one very blatant example, and that is the nuclear threat, that Iran is a nuclear threat and Iran is trying to build an atom bomb. Let's just stick to that. That is the big fear they inflicted on the American people, the big lie, the big hoax. Iran never intended to do such a thing. 16 intelligence agencies of the U.S. monitored Iran. Iran has signed the NPT. Israel hasn't signed the NPT. Pakistan has and signed the NPT, and they have atomic bombs. The leader of Iran, which is a spiritual leader and an active political leader also, has made it haram. So it's corrupt and evil to make a bomb. So anyone who attempts to make a bomb is already on the wrong side of God and Islam. So having said all of that, they were able to feed this bogus to the American public based on fear that Iran is about to make a bomb and it's going to obliterate Israel and it's off the map, et cetera, et cetera. And they were successful because the media played along. The neocons, based on what was concocted in Israel, were able to sell this one line that Iran is a nuclear threat. And if you just stick to that one mantra, you will see what I mean. This is the main thing they sold to the public during Ahmadinejad's time. You know, Ahmadinejad was supposed to be the new Hitler. Iran is secretly building bombs, and Iran is not interested because what can you do with a bomb? What can you do with three bombs? With the technology of 50 years ago, I mean, you have to be insane as a country to pursue such a thing. We believe in defense. We believe in fierce defense. We have a pretty robust missile making industry and manufacturing, but an atomic bomb is obsolete. But they sold it to the public. They sold that line, that story. It still lingers on today. So the whole JCPOA was also, I think, a farce. Why would we sit? And this is where I disagree with this government and this foreign ministry. Why would we sit down with John Kerry and discuss the fact that the U.S. and the West are paranoid about Iran having a nuclear bomb? Well, we don't have any intentions to have a nuclear. So the whole thing was obsolete. That's why it fizzled into air when Trump came in, because it was a fizzle from the beginning. It was fake from the beginning. And I think that if our leaders who were in the foreign ministry during this administration were wise enough, they should not have.
We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is Scott Bennett and Paul Taylor on the Power Hour with our great guest, Nader Talebzadeh. We'll be back right after the break. Stay with us.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores all love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algae on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Scott Bennett on the Power Hour. We've got our wonderful guest, Nader Talebzadeh, who's given us an intelligence briefing on all the real truth that we need to know regarding the Iranian relationship, the U.S. relationship. He's a man that I admire very greatly. In fact, I love him as a man. I love him as a brother. He and his wife have done so much to heal and develop relationships and communication between Iran and the United States. And the people that I went over to Iran with were excellent, of course. They were all former Pentagon, CIA, State Department. I was military. It was an amazing miracle that God himself allowed us to go over there. And the religious supreme leader was the one really who allowed us to come. And I think we had a wonderful exchange of truth. And that really is what changes hearts and minds. And I think what Nader's been saying is absolutely truth. There is no danger, enemy, nemesis. There is no problem with the Iranians. This has all been propaganda. This is a propagandistic lie that has been pushed by certain parties about Iran having a bomb and Iran sending missiles into Europe, and Iran is going to be a hydra that expands and destroys Israel and destroys Europe and America. I think all of that is propaganda, and we've seen the fruit of that in the Iraq War. And guess who pushed the Iraq War? John Bolton. And these people like Mike Pompeo and John Bolton and others who have been pushing this conflict with Iran and making Iran look like a horrible monster society that rapes and beats and whips women if they don't cover themselves or that sort of thing. All of that is lies and propaganda. It's really Saudi Arabia that does that, not Iran. But one of the other areas of propaganda, Nader, that is constantly drilled into the American public is this, well, Iran is going to destroy Israel. And, of course, this fits into the Christian Zionist narrative, and I'm a solid Christian, but I do not subscribe to this Christian Zionist narrative that says God has a absolute unique and special destiny, and Americans have to give political and financial support or else they are rejecting God. I don't believe in that heresy. I think it's an absolute false religious principle, and it's been a propaganda tool used by certain Zionist parties from early 1900s onward. Yet Americans in the traditional Christian churches in the Midwest and really in the Republican ranks and even the Democrats, they are still intoxicated with this notion of Christian Zionism, and somehow Iran is just itching to destroy Israel. And nobody likes the idea of destroying another country. So it feeds into so many fears. And that's something that needs to be, addressed and soothed and healed as well, to say Iran is not looking to destroy any countries. Iran has waged war. This is another propaganda ploy that they're trying to use they've tried to do it to destabilize Syria. Now they're trying to do it to Iran. They did it to Iraq as well. So is there something you can say that addresses this other leg of the propaganda stool, which is, Iran is going to have imperial ambitions of destruction against Israel and against Europe and things like that? Go ahead, sir.
Yes, this is, I'll just revert back to the recent history, which was what happened in the early 80s. We were attacked, insulted by Saddam Hussein, who was encouraged to attack Iran, supported by the U.S. I mean, very soon after the war started, Donald Rumsfeld was in Baghdad and he was visiting Saddam. Americans have to remember that for 8 years, they supported Saddam Hussein. And they got the Europeans on board. They even got the Soviets on board. You should not forget that two things happened that are very critical. One is the U.S. colluded with Saddam Hussein and started the war of the Iraqi people against Iran, which we never had any war in our history between us and the Iraqis. We share the common religion. And the U.S. had a major role in that. Another point I'd like to take, just to remind the audience about the so-called hostage crisis. Many people do not understand what happened, that Iran took over the U.S. embassy at that time. You have to remember that Iran was trying to prevent another coup, like what happened in 1953 by the CIA, from the same embassy on Roosevelt Avenue in Tehran. Many Americans, after that 444 days in which the hostages were held and they were released, all safe, nobody was injured or hurt or, nothing happened. But it was a reaction to what happened in 1953 and to prevent. They closed the embassy so another coup d'etat would not happen, that it would drive us back 50 years. It was Iran's innate right to prevent another catastrophe, which the Americans were about to do. And then the documents from the embassy showed that they were about to do a huge coup d'etat, which they discovered it. So this is another misunderstanding that the Americans have to keep in mind, that we took it over so that another coup d'etat, another assault, a clandestine assault would not be levied against the one-year-old revolution. Many don't know that this was the primary intention, and we held on to it. And to this day, the U.S. government cannot concoct any sort of plans within the country, very much like what's happening in Venezuela. Venezuela is always at the helm of some sort of a clandestine attack. So having said that, the two things I'd like to mention, one was what the U.S. government was behind Saddam. So, they never apologized for that. We took a lot of damage from that war. And the second part is the Americans, because the population is mostly young now, they don't realize that the neocons appeared on the scene in America in the early 80s. And they were not in the scene in the 70s. The neocons were nothing. I mean, the Christian evangelicals appeared on the scene also at that time. They were not in the scene. I used to remember when I was in the 70s in the U.S., the big evangelical Christian man was Billy Graham, which I listened to many times. He had beautiful speeches. There was no such huge support of Israel by American Christians. There were no mega churches at that time. And the neocons, the evangelicals, didn't have such an influence in the White House. These all occurred after 1979 and the Islamic Revolution, and the fact that a country had come to the fore that rejected the U.S. hegemony. And it was very serious about that. And to this day, it's serious. And our big sin is we reject U.S. hegemony and the Western hegemony against us. We want to be sovereign. We want to be independent. And to this day, we are threatened. For four decades, we've been threatened. For four decades, once, for the first decade, it was a war imposed upon us by a neighbor with the U.S. standing behind it. I mean, by the U.S. standing behind it means Saddam received all the aerial satellite intelligence he needed for that war. And the U.S. provided it for him. And so on and so forth. There are many books written about this, and many people have talked about it. But it's good to hear it from the Iranian to remind you once again what has happened in the past. The second is the neocons. The neocons were invisible in the 70s. Did not exist. After the Islamic Revolution, one of the things that came into being was this creation. And they muscled their way into the White House. They are in the White House today. Different administrations have kept them, maybe lower key during the Clinton administration, but high key and high level during the Republican administrations. And they're a threat. They have their own ideology. They have their own plans. They have their eschatology about the end of times. And this, Scott, is the real point. There is an eschatology point here that they're pursuing, and many of the American public are not aware. And there's a plan, and they're enforcing it on the innocent U.S. citizens who are completely unaware. And usually the media goes along with this wave of creating fear out of Iran, first nuclear, now continuing in other dimensions. Iran is a threat in other dimensions. It's going to, so on and so forth. I mean, you know the whole story. And, of course, new players have appeared in the scene. The hypocrisy of Saudi Arabia is also immense today. Why would America collude with such a wild regime? And new players in the scene are coming day by day. So everything is becoming more and more apparent. And if it wasn't for programs like yourself, alternative media in the U.S., I mean, I know that as a percentage of Americans that have awakened and are being vigilant about it, and we need this. And one reason that I hold these conferences, along with my colleagues, my wife, is that we need to bring people together, so they need to know that there's nothing weird, there are no monsters. This is being created by the enemy, by the challenger, by the people who want to create nemesis and want to create arch enemies. And they have an agenda. So by actually coming on the ground and seeing and spending time, we have to break this lie, the hoax. And that is a sacred mission. I really believe there's a sacred mission to debunk this hoax.
Yeah, and I think it is being debunked. I agree with you 100%. The eschatological calendar that is being put forth by people like John Hagee and others and other evangelicals, which I think have gone off the reservation and have completely gone off the true biblical understanding. There's a morphing, there's a strong delusion which is coming upon the earth. And America, as we've talked about, when I was in Iran, I had wonderful conversations with people based on my experience in the Heritage Foundation, studying family and society and sexuality. And America, present company excluded, because I know the Power Hour people are very conservative in their heart of hearts. But America has become sickened and delusioned with this lesbian, gay, transgender, homosexual agenda, chemical alteration of children. I mean, it's a horrific, apocalyptic political correctness plague that is infecting the body politic of America with this gangrene, with this death. That we are witnessing a civil war in America right now with this attempt to overthrow Trump. And I've always supported him because I thought he was better than Hillary Clinton. But I do not support wars, because I've been in war. I was a soldier in war. And I know after learning later that 9/11 was a false flag war. It was a false flag attack. It was engineered by the CIA and the Mossad and the MI6. We did an entire study on it. And I was at the Pentagon the next day. And I can say with authority that there was no plane that hit the Pentagon. It was a missile attack. And everybody who wore the uniform at the Pentagon should be executed for treason, because no one except a small few have stood up and say, I was there. There was no plane that hit the Pentagon. Instead, every military person took the silver, took their pension, took their whatever they were enriched by, and kept shut. And because the military didn't stand up and stop this coup d'etat in America, we've had 19 years of war, and it was entirely a false flag lie. And that's one of the things I enjoyed in Iran, was they were saying we had nothing to do with 9/11, and we need to go and address this in court, in an international court, with hearings and witnesses to really release the truth of 9/11, because I don't think America can heal itself, and I don't think the world can heal itself until that is addressed. So I'll hand it back to you to talk about anything you want, your 9/11 issue and revelations, as well as other things. And Paul Taylor, I wanted Paul just to jump in and introduce himself too. So Paul, say hi to Nader. Go ahead.
Hey, Nader, it's good to hear from you again and talk with you, sir. I really enjoyed our last few moments together.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Paul. I wish you the best, good health, and hope to see you soon in the future.
I do too, sir. I'm down here visiting with my son in outside of Dallas, Texas, and that's why I'm on the my cell phone here. And Yes. I appreciate what you're saying, everything you're saying.
And let me go back to speaking with Scott. Scott, I think one of the most important missions we all have is to challenge the falsities and the false attacks, concocting lies. A lot of what you see in the Bible, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, where the enmity towards the prophets, and the same sort of enmity going on right now, concocting plans. I'm very happy that you and other people like you are vigilant about all of this. We're going to have our next conference. We're hoping to have it, God willing, in Lebanon. Take New Horizon out of Tehran and put it in Lebanon. So people see another dimension of what's going on in this very strong media here in Lebanon. So we can't be dormant. We can't be passive. You raised the issue of 9/11. During 9/11 this year, in the last year, I did two distinctive programs on 9/11, did new interviews, new information. One of them was with Christopher Bolin. And one was with Robert Gage, the head of the architects and engineers on the truth finding on 9/11. They both had immense things to say, and I always bring these great Americans for the Iranian public to see and to witness. And that's why the Treasury Department is so intimidated, because nobody else basically does that, to bring in these great patriots who are scientific and who are there. Actually, in America, they're censored. They don't appear in the mainstream media in America. But at least in this country, the mainstream media is not in their hand. It's in our hand. So I can show them on national television, and out of the 80 million, I think a good 20, 30 million will be watching what Robert Gage has to say about scientifically how 9/11 could not be the official story the government's saying. And Christopher Bolin can talk about the radio, the voice messages left on some people, and 3,500 of a certain group of people did not appear in the building. And that's why they're very intimidated that I do have those shows, and I interview people like yourself, Scott, and others, Ray McGovern, Philip Giraldi, others. And that's why we were sanctioned. They want to silence freedom of speech. So I'm very happy when you have a program like yours, that we connect, we talk, and we are able to say what's going on. And then not only that, just prepare the way for another great meeting of minds, and not to be scared and intimidated by false elements.
And Nader, how can people follow you and write letters of support and write letters perhaps to the Treasury to say, I've listened to this man, Nader, and I object to your trying to sanction and shut his conferences down? How can people listening to this show follow your work, perhaps email you or write letters to support this dialogue? Because I think it's critical for our next growth as a society, as a country, as a world, that real people get involved.
Right. They can send their points to the email of Zeina. That's Zeina, Zeina, .mehanna, MEHANNA, @gmail.com. And I'd be so happy to hear it, and I'll use it, and I'll think about it. The most important thing we have to do, Scott, is think and rethink and rethink and plan as they are planning. So I'll be very happy to hear from any of your listeners, and I think you'll be joining us in Lebanon in a few months.
I will. I look forward to it very much. I look forward to coming. I look forward to speaking and thinking, and I can't imagine better people to be with. And I think you're enlightening the American people. What would you say in our last few 5 minutes, I think, what would you say in closing to the American people that you want them to know from you and from the people of Iran? Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, people have to realize that it's not the American people that we consider an enemy to us at all. The Iranian people love the American people. They appreciate the American. It's what has taken over America that is very dangerous and has portrayed Iran as a danger, as a threat. This is what the audience has to realize, is that there's been a sort of a takeover and portraying us as, we are a civilized nation. We go back to thousands of years. We were the first people to allow the Jewish people in. Cyrus the Great fought against Nebuchadnezzar and relieved the people. And this is in the Bible. If you want to know who we are, look into the Bible. The great prophets of the Old Testament are buried in Iran, and their burial place is a huge shrine. We have Daniel in Susa. We have Ezekiel in Desful. We have Joshua in Isfahan. Joshua, I mean, just imagine. We have Thaddeus, the disciple of Jesus, in Urumye, in Saint Thaddeus' church. One of the earliest, maybe the earliest church in world history is in Iran. Iran harbored the first Christian nation in the world, which were the Armenians, in 350 before Islam, 350 AD. And this is a country that has had Christians living in it. Before that, they had the Jewish people living in it. We're civilized. We never wage wars against people, and the Iranian people are calm people. This whole new concoction is concocted, I believe, and proliferated by the Israelis who are not to portray Iran, because we object to the fact that the Palestinians have been thrown out of their country. And we stand by that. We're not flirting with the idea. We stand by. We believe that something should happen. All these people should not be wandering in the world for the past 60 years. Therefore, I think if they are able to debunk themselves, the falsities waged against Iran, and be able to look into the alternative media, all these great American writers, these great patriots, many of them former officials, about what's going on, they'll get their head straight and not listen to the propaganda. The propaganda that is geared towards bringing in conflict and waging war and spilling blood.
And I would say one of the great channels I've had the honor of appearing on, of course, your shows, Nader, in addition, have been Press TV. PressTV.com is a wonderful news broadcast from Iran, but with a very global cosmopolitan appeal. And I think they do phenomenal work. And I've been so blessed by appearing and debating. And I think it's a great source of truth that the American people can go to get real information and real truth about what is happening and how the world is viewing things and just pick up different perspectives on things. So I would say go to PressTV.com and also RT.com. I like to think Russia and Iran really see the future as a unipolar world. I know we had the blessing of having Alexander Dugin at the last conference who talked about a unipolar world. And I think Trump, in his heart of hearts, he's in the Civil War. He's being circled on all sides. He's being pushed and bullied and manipulated by the Bolton crowds. But he's also very smart. And Paul Taylor can attest to some of this. And I would add it to you, Nader. What would you say to the president? What would you advise the president to think and see real quick?
Just don't listen to the neocons. Stay calm. Nothing is going to happen that's going to be drastic. Nothing.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit CARNIVORA.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for